Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Dernarek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of our podcast. Let us start our program in our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Apostolic Church. Our Lord God, keep us in peace at all times. Keep our mind and our thoughts secure in your holy fear, so that we may at all times be protected by you from the snares of the enemy, and we shall praise and glorify the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. How was your weekend? I hope everybody had a great weekend last weekend. I had a blast. Let me tell you why. Because we had the first day of our Saturday school. Remember, I reported about our Saturday school last week when we were having our discussions with Ve. And I said that we had 55 students. And I said, we Armenians like to do things the last minute. Well, I was right. Because last Saturday, we ended up having 11 new students registering. So that brings the number of our students as of today to 66. That's a beautiful number. And I'm excited to work with our students. The teachers are doing a great job. I posted some pictures on the internet of our students in their classrooms as well as in the hall together. Those pictures are beautiful. If you haven't taken a look, please, I encourage you to go to our website, stsarkischurch.net, and take a look at the pictures that we posted from our Saturday school. And if you have children or grandchildren who have not registered yet, it's not too late. Go online, try to register your kids, or maybe you can even bring them this Saturday to explore and see if they like it, and I'm sure they will. And they can stay here and you can register your kids to be part of our Saturday school. This Friday evening, the youth club of St. Sarkis Church is going to have the first meeting of the season. We formed our youth club almost 2 years ago, and in the past 2 years, our youth club members have been doing great things for our church, organizing food drives, lectures, presentations, and trips. I would like to invite you to become part of our youth club, because The board of the youth club is working on some great projects. So join us to be part of the community and to implement changes in the life of our community. The meeting is on this Friday, 6 p.m. I hope I will see you then. You're coming to church this Sunday, right, everyone? Because this Sunday, following the church services, we have our annual picnic. We're praying for good weather because our picnic committee is working on prepping all kinds of Armenian food, live music, activities for the kid, raffles, prizes, and so much fun. It's going to be the right opportunity for us to say goodbye to summer as we come together one more time as a community and have fun in our traditional picnic. So see you all this Sunday following church services. St. Gregory the Illuminator Armenian Church in Philadelphia is celebrating the 25th year of service of their pastor, Archpriest Reverend Father Nerses Manukyan. And today, we are speaking with Derhayr to tell us about this milestone and his experience. Derhayr, Der Nerses Ortnetsek, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ortnetsek Derhayr.
Derhayr, tell us about your spiritual journey. Celebrating the 25th anniversary is a big milestone in your life. How did your journey start? Tell us about your beginning.
It's a long journey. It all started when I was 7 years old, and one day the choir director walked into our parochial school, our classroom. He was recruiting candidates for acolyte, and he tested my voice, and he told me, "You're coming to church," and he gave me a choir robe. I was so elated, so excited. You have to remember, we lived in the ghetto of Burjamut, and everybody was indigenous. And holding that choir robe was a milestone for me. I was walking in the air, taking that back to home, asked my mother to wash it and iron it. And from that day on, every Sunday, we're in front of the church sometime before the priest arrived, competing who would hold the candle that Sunday. I have to credit my mother as well, my blessed memory mother, who encouraged me. She was very religious. She participated to women's worship every Wednesday. Back in St. Asvazaz in Church of Burjamut. And she read the Bible every day in Turkish language, but she was very instrumental instilling in me the seeds of spirituality. And ultimately, when I was graduate from elementary school, it was her suggestion that I go to Seminary of Antilias and be a priest. It is painful for me to mention this, that when I rejected to be a celibate priest, and when she heard the news, she passed out because she thought that I was not going to serve the Lord. But unfortunately, she did not witness my ordination of priesthood, because she passed away in 79 and I was ordained in 87. But I'm a believer that her soul is very happy looking down, and at least she's sure that her son is serving the Lord. So this is my brief.
It sounds like your mom had a great role in the decision that you made in your life, there, Heir.
Yeah, she instilled the spirituality in me. I mean, as a child, she used to take me to their gatherings on Wednesdays. And as a child, I sat there and then listened to all the hymns they're singing. And it was a magical moment for me. I did not understand what they're singing, but I could feel at my core what was going on. Seeing all these women praying and singing, praise the Lord, it was a special moment I would never forget. I think it all started from there. And from that day on, I think I gave myself to the Lord. And since then, I've been in the church every Sunday, every religious day and so forth. Until the time came for the big decision in 1987, when I was ordained priest in New York.
Do you want to talk about your experience in the seminary there, Heir?
Oh, that was the greatest experience. Seminary those days, in my days, in 60s and early 70s, they were the heydays of seminary. I was fortunate to have teachers, quality teachers, scholars, people like Byzantia Gayan, Yetwat Asnabedian, Moshe Rishchan, the poet, Yevan Pambukian, you name it, Oren Kapigian, blessed memory, they're all gone, but they were really giving quality service to the seminary, and I was one of the fortunates that I enjoyed their gift. And besides having this quality people, quality students, the times were different those days. The seminary was in the middle of the gardens. But right now, when I went there, everything has changed. What stuck in my mind from the seminary, especially our dean, Karekin Vartab, at those days, His Holiness Karekin II, Karekin I of Holy Echmiadzin, he was our dean, and he really instilled in us the love of the Armenian Church. Now I look back, and probably we did not see those days, but I look back and see that how nicely, how profoundly they shaped our souls and put a stamp in our young souls, the love of the Armenian Church and the Armenian nation. The studies were not the same standard as today, but there's something else that you do not receive in colleges, but you only receive in the seminary. That special spirit that engulfs all your heart, and you become someone. You are being refueled every day to love the church, to serve the church. I cannot explain with words, but only feel it. And I'm fortunate having gone through that experience in Armenian seminary.
I think that's a feeling that we seminarians can share, and it's hard for us to explain that feeling to someone who doesn't have that experience that high.
Definitely. You know what I'm saying.
I do. The community is celebrating your 25th year of service, but you were ordained 29 years ago. Tell us about your journey as a priest. When and where did it start? Where did you serve in the Armenian prelacy before serving the community of Philadelphia?
Well, let me go back after seminary graduation, when I obviously decided not to become a celibate priest. As a layman, I was sent to Iran as a choir director and teacher and so forth. I had a job in New Julfa, Norchuga, in Isfahan, Iran, and I was a choir director. That was my first experience with the people after the seminary. That was my formation years as a priest. Although I was not a priest, but as a servant, generally, I started having that feeling how to serve the people. Then as a choir director, and then in 1982, when I came to United States, I was given a position by Mesrop Surpazan, the blessed memory, as again a choir director and Armenian language teacher in Dearborn, Michigan, in ARS Day School. And I served that community for 6 years in many capacities, again putting into use all that I have received from the seminary. Unfortunately, when the school was closed down in Dearborn, and I was ready for the big decision, I called Mesrop Surpazan and communicated to him my intentions, and my ordination was in New York, February 23rd, 1987. So after 40 days seclusion, I was sent to Granite City, Illinois, as the pastor of that church, and it was a small church, but I'm glad I went there, because it's not fair to throw an experienced priest in a big community. I owe a lot to that community because they helped me to learn. And afterwards, after receiving my master's degree from St. Louis University, I was commissioned to come to Philadelphia, St. Gregory Church, and in 1991, on Father's Day of 1991, it's coincidental, it's a providential coincidence that I started my tenure here on Father's Day as a spiritual father, and since I never stopped fathering this community for the last 25 years.
Excellent. Would you like to tell us about some of the programs or the initiatives that you took in the Church of St. Gregory the Illuminator?
My first initiative to have a choir, not the choir, the altar server program, because I looked around, there's nobody, and I recruited about 38 to 40 kids. And after initial training, then they started serving the altar. Obviously, not all of them together, but according to the schedule. And my second priority was, I'm a believer in communication. I revamped our newspaper called The Illuminator. We hired professionals, and since then, the Illuminator is thriving, and it's a very, very important means of communication between our parishes, because, as you know, there are our parishioners, they don't live in the neighborhood, especially in Philadelphia. Everyone commutes at least for 20 minutes. I mean, I have people commuting for 45 minutes one way. So what I'm saying, the Illuminator became a good catalyst between our parishioners. And then we did not stop there. We started our website and weekly email programs and so forth. I gave a great attention as well to our educational departments, such as Sunday School and Armenian School. They both thrived, and I was full supporter of them. And then there are other non-spiritual things, like construction of new building and constantly renovating, and many other little projects. But the educational part always touches my heart, and my heart's always in Sunday school and Armenian school, and the Bible study, obviously. Whatever is teaching, it's very close to my heart.
Because you are not only a priest, but you are an educator and a spiritual father. That had, in the past 25 years of your service, what has been the greatest moment of joy that you would like to share with our listeners?
My greatest joy? It's hard to say. But you asked me a special experience there. I have to say that everything I come to office, it's joyful. Serving the people is extremely joyful experience for me, which I cannot explain but only feel. Because serving the Lord, you're in a position when you're a pastor, you see the people from far and with different perspective. Because people are very busy with their materialistic world, with their struggles. But the pastor is someone who looks from the far and sees things happening. And that's why you can help them. I will always remember a word, a sentence from my ordination ceremony. When the ordaining bishop reads from the book of Ezekiel, and he said, "Son of man, I appoint you as a watchman over this people." That was a defining moment in my life, in my priesthood. From that day on, this sentence stuck in my mind. I start telling myself, "I'm the watchman. I'm supposed to watch these people." As a security guard watches the institution given to him. So that been my trend, and that brought a lot of joy. But if you ask about a special event that happened and touched my heart, that is a little story that I would like to say if you have the time.
Go ahead.
That's a pastoral experience. Do we have the time?
Yes, we do.
I will never forget this event, and I'm publishing this in the booklet of 25th anniversary as well. Yeah, one winter morning at midnight, my phone rang, and I jumped, and at the other end of the phone, there was a parishioner crying and telling me, "Mom is dying." And so within 10 minutes, I was on my way, and I went to their house. It was snowing as well. The house was like a sanctuary. All the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they're all there with awe and crying. And so after hitching my heart with them, and I told them, "Where's the mother?" They said, "Downstairs." And I said, "How about your father?" And they told me the father had been at the side of their mother for days, and he would not leave her alone 24/7. So we went there together, and as soon as the father saw me, he started crying and extolling the wife and such a nice wife she was, and so forth and so on, and kept talking, but looking at the breathing of the wife, I reminded him, "Why don't we give the last rite first, and then we talk?" And then when he heard the last rite, he was devastated, and he held my hand, begging me that I marry them again while she's dying. I was shocked. As a trained priest, I told him, "You received the marriage sacrament once." But he kept begging and begging, and there was a transformation in my heart. I told myself, if it's the desire of this man, why shouldn't I do it again at least? Not officially. Finally, I ventured to join their hands first and then read a prayer
from the wedding ceremony to the satisfaction of this man, and he was comforted. He found his peace. And later on, when I was driving home in the car, I remembered a verse from St. Paul, from the epistle of 1 Corinthians, where it says, love never ends. And I thought this sentence found a face that night in the little room. It was, for me, it was a chapel of love, not a place of death where a 90-year-old woman was dying and her 92-year-old husband was still trying to love her relentlessly.
That's a great story. I'm going to use that in one of our marriage prep lessons here, that had, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you're welcome. I can email you the story I wrote later on, which is being published in my 25th anniversary booklet.
Excellent.
I can email the text. I made it really short, but I put more meat in that article.
Then tell us about the meaning of this event, celebrating the 25th anniversary of your service. What's the meaning of this event to you?
It doesn't mean anything for me, because we're not here for myself. But I do appreciate the community's efforts. Not that I needed it, but it tells me, first of all, we are a family. We are connected. I can see the love and respect of the community towards their pastor. And I would like to make this an opportunity to tell them to continue loving. Because I always say that the relationship of a pastor and the community is kind of marriage. You marry to each other, as we do not believe in divorce in marriage. It is the same relationship there, because either the pastor or the parishioner, that they should strive and work together to know each other better. As the marrying couples, they discover each other day by day. They're not married. The unity of the marriage for me is a process, not finished product. The couples, they keep discovering each other every day, and by discovering, they experience the unity of their marriage. Same is true for the pastor and the parishioners. As long as they have the main ingredient, which is love and respect, I think that parish will be successful. This is my take of the parish. So what I'm saying, obviously the love is there. Not that I want to be extolled and exalted, because I have to tell you that I frame all this 25th anniversary celebration with the words of our Lord, which is said in Luke 17:10, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the frame I would like to use for the entire this celebration. As I told you, I don't need to be exalted, but I accept this honor for the sole purpose that I see the love of our parishioners, not only towards their pastor, but through the pastor towards their church.
Excellent. Der Nerses, before I let you go, I want to ask you, what is your message to our listeners today? As a person who has been serving in the Armenian church for almost 30 years now, I would like you to speak to those who are contemplating about their vocation, about becoming priest and serving the Armenian church. Let's hear your message today.
My message to them is very simple. It is a pure joy serving the Lord, first of all, which cannot be explained by words, but obviously you need a vocation. But once you are in this field, you will see that how enriching experience it's going to be for you. You are going to become someone very close to God, not because you're a priest, but because you're a pastor. You would be praying for your parishioners every day. You would be praying for many causes in the parish every day. And after a while, you feel that closeness with God. And once you find that closeness, you find tremendous peace in your heart. And the peace is something is missing from this world. You cannot find this peace in the corporation. You cannot find this peace in the streets of any community. But you can only experience in your heart when you become a pastor. It is such a joy to deal. It's not an easy work. I mean, Jesus did not tell us it's going to be easy. As you remember, he warned his disciples that they'll be persecuted, they'll be stoned, and people will try to kill you. But beyond that, Jesus said, "My, if you follow me, you're going to find a sweet life, and take your cross and follow me, and you will become bigger than yourself." And becoming bigger than yourself is forgetting your needs, forgetting yourself, forgetting your ego, and serve the Lord. Because the greatness, as Jesus explained to us, greatness is always through service. Greatness is not a position, but greatness is a service in humility, and serving the Lord, and serving people.
Dear Nerses, on behalf of our listeners, and personally, I would like to congratulate you on the 25th anniversary of your ordination. I pray that the Lord will give you the strength to continue the work and the service that you provide for your community, as well as the Armenian Apostolic Church. Congratulations again, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, guys. All the best for your ministry as well.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. The reading today is from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The Word of God. I love this reading because Jesus is asking a question to the disciples. I ask it because Jesus wants to be aware of what's happening in the society, in the culture, in the communities where he was traveling and doing all the work. Of course, as God, he knew. But he wanted to hear from the disciples. And through this question, I think Jesus is also teaching us a lesson that we need to be in touch with the communities that we work with. So the disciples report to Jesus what the communities are saying about him. And it was the anticipation that was present at that time that the Messiah will be with the Spirit, or will carry the Spirit of one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And for that reason, the communities were thinking that Jesus was Elijah or Jeremiah. After hearing what the disciples had to say about the people, then Jesus asks the most important question. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter takes the initiative to answer this question. Obviously, this was the first time that the disciples were coming to fully understand the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, we can go into theological discourse about this reading, but I come from a pastoral perspective. And to me, the question that Jesus asks here is very important, because we as believers need to give an answer to this question. What about you? Who do you think Jesus is in your lives? Sometimes we say that we are Christians. We belong to the church. And it becomes almost like a second nature, coming to church, following with the prayers, and living our lives. But I think with this question, Jesus wants us to have the awareness that he is our God. He is our Savior. And we need to have that awareness all the time. Because when we have that, then it means that we have the right relationship. Everything else comes to fall into its right place. Therefore, let us think about our relationship, who Jesus is in our lives. I hope every one of us has the right answer in our hearts. The hymn today is called Der Vorimech Lerinen. This is a hymn by Mesrop Mashtots of the 5th century, which is performed by Hasmik Bardasaryan. I hope that you will enjoy listening to this hymn. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. I would like to thank our sponsor. I would like to thank my producer, Mr. Greg Doster. And I would like to thank all of my listeners. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.